Welcome to Story Breakers, a show where we come up with a brand new film idea every single episode.
And if you like, you can buy it for $19.99. Is that right?
This is not the Christmas spirit whatsoever.
All right, you can take it for free.
All right, I'm your host, Chris Brennan.
And I'm Stephen Ryan.
So today we will do a reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's reboot something.
Any ideas? I'm drawing blanks this week.
There was one I've always wanted to do. I had this conversation on Twitter with somebody like a few months back, and I think I put out the Gremlins episode on Twitter, and I was like, "Hey, how would you reboot Gremlins?" And they were like really salty, going, "I wouldn't."
Oh yeah, I think I do remember this conversation. Yeah, it's like no such thing as a good reboot.
Yeah, and I disagree. Like I thought, like no, reboots do have their place. There's some ideas that the concept is great. And I wouldn't mind seeing a modern take on it. Or perhaps the execution of that idea didn't exactly land how I felt like it could have, you know?
So we're doing Twilight then today.
Yeah, it's more sparkles. And I actually had them building an idea, and that was Brewster's Millions. So I took somebody from going, reboot okay, suck, yeah. And then they were like, how would you do Brewster's Millions? Oh, I do it this way and this way. Who would you cast? Oh, I cast this person. And I was like, this is sounding really good. I know. Exactly. So reboot for it.
So we're doing Brewster's Millions, then we're definitely going to have to change up to Billions now, right?
Well, for alliteration,
too. Can't buy you shit, like, you know? Yeah.
I think Brewster's Billion sounds good anyway. One thing I don't like about reboots is when you flat out just use the same name.
Yeah.
I don't think you really should, because how do you decipher that, man? True. So yeah, Brewster's Billions.
So this is the one with Richard Pryor in it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I've only seen about 15 minutes, so give us a quick just gist of it.
Brewster's Millions was Richard Pryor found out that he had an estranged father who was a millionaire. The father died and left him millions, but he could only get that money in this weird monthly game that he had to play, where it was like you have to spend $30 million in 1 month and not own anything after that month. I want you to be so sick of money that you can appreciate having this kind of money, and that's what the concept was. And there was some nefarious lawyers, I believe, that were trying to let him fail, because if he failed, he gets nothing, so they get the money.
Okay. It's kind of like this. Yeah, okay. So this is basically what Bill Gates does with his kids every couple of months. Okay, I like it.
Giving them hamburgers and McDonald's and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's a real fun concept. And one reason why I think that it could be done again, more so than a lot of films, is I watched the original and I was sitting there going, I kind of wish this was better. Like, I'm sorry to say, I know some people love it, but when you watch it again, it feels dated. But yeah. The idea, imagine that in modern times, like they didn't have all this whole like success rap culture where people are like in music videos, literally showing their money, you know, like I'm wearing money, you know? Yeah. I think like just taking it into a modern sense, you could have so much fun with a guy trying to blow as much money as possible and not own anything.
That's it. And we all like to spend money. That's the one thing that we all have in common.
I mean, there's got to be a scene where he's making it rain, literally. It's just coming from the skies.
All right, so that was Richard Pryor. He was integral to that cast. We're going to need someone pretty unique to fill this role as well.
Yeah, you want somebody who you could see, who you can barely see being rich, you know?
Yeah.
Like an everyday kind of guy, you know? Like, he's too old, but maybe John Goodman would have been like a good kind of... He played King Ralph, actually, so yeah. There's something exactly, about like a regular Joe Schmo who is like giving so much money, and you're like, I want to see this guy blow that money.
And don't you want to look at them as well and say, I know for a fact that he could spend all that money easily because he's a doofus. But then throughout the course of the movie, you find out actually not how hard it really is.
Yeah.
Because he can't actually do it. You just, you know, you need that kind of...
Yeah. You want to be emotionally connected to him, you know?
So we need a good comedy actor. How about Hugo Weaving?
Hugo Weaving? Does he have to wear that mask the whole time?
He's known for his acting comedy chops.
The V mask the entire time. I know we had this guy in like a film already. Well, actually a couple of them. But what about Jake Johnson?
I love it. I put him in any kind
I mean, he won the lottery in one episode that we did. So
that's true, actually. Yeah.
And something about that guy blowing money I just want.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, let's stick with him. I know he's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people at home can really imagine anybody else. So yeah. Whenever we say Jake Johnson, just insert Denzel Washington. You know? But
for also, me, I'm hat known for blowing his money.
All right. So, yeah, I think we can stick with the original premise. You know, like this Jake Johnson probably living a slob lifestyle. And then he's plucked out of somewhere, shoved into a limousine and brought to a fancy mansion. We don't explain anything. You know, like
He's
asking all these questions. And then he's confronted by a couple of lawyers who are like, hey, here's the deal. And maybe one of those lawyers is Paul Giamatti. I just thought, like,
I love that
one. I thought Philip Seymour Hoffman, but of course that can't happen. So I was like, who's the other character actor?
Maybe we could take him from Hunger Games and superimpose him to this movie. Wasn't the thing with Brewster's Millions that, didn't he play like for a baseball team or something like that?
I can't recall. And
I think he played for like a baseball team, like just an amateur baseball team that were losing, basically were going out of business. They couldn't afford to keep playing. And then he had to figure out a way of basically injecting his millions into the baseball team without it becoming successful, pretty much. I think we need to have something along those lines, like a hobby that needs this financial gain.
You know, well, in like, Brewster's Millions, he needed to really blow a lot of money.
Yeah.
So he actually went into politics. And it was it wasn't him trying to win a campaign or become a governor or whatever. It was actually like a vote nobody ballot. So he's blown his money making sure that people vote for nobody. And he's really succeeding. And I think it's really fun. I'd like to do a version of that. But obviously, we shouldn't go near politics. I mean, we actually have that playing out in real life. And that's Mr. Yeah. Trump.
I was just about to say that.
Just blowing as much money as he can.
Doucher's Millions.
Just saying whatever shit he can come up with off the top of his head. So yeah, let's avoid that.
I think he's running for best, to be honest. cool. Okay, so let's just start it off then. We'll just take it as it comes.
You're thinking he should have a hobby, huh?
Yeah, I think he should have an interest of some sort that is going to rely on him to have to inject, to try find a way to inject money into it. You know, the kind of way, give him those real life stakes.
Maybe he's a musician, or maybe he's like a nerd, like a geek who loves comic books and films and stuff, where he's like, you know, just give him a passion that you could kind of blow a lot of money in, like, in the creative sense, you know? Like, if you like cars, then you're just buying cars. But if you're, like, making an album or making a film, then you're just blowing your money on paying people to create something, and you can actually get rid of the rights of it, too, you know?
So then, how about then, actually, you think about this pretty, if I had loads of money that I had to...
If you were going to... Yeah. Just how are you going to blow your money?
Just going on what you just said there, if I had billions that I needed to waste completely, I'd buy up all the superhero franchises and make movies out of them.
Okay.
As for every Avengers, there's a Wolverine Origins or a Fantastic Four.
Gotcha.
You know, the kind of way. So, like, they don't make money.
Yeah.
So, that could be an easy way for him to get rid of, like, big, big chunks of his billions.
It's true, because then, like, when you actually write a script, you sell the rights to that script to a distributor. So you can basically have him blow his money on like a huge feature film, like with special effects, and he's adding new stuff like 3D. Well, screw 3D, add something more. Smell-o-vision, you know, it's like just dumping all the money in, and people are like, this guy's crazy. Like, he's creating the most expensive film of all time. And then in the end, he could just sell it off for like a buck, you know?
Yeah.
And then he goes and buys like a burger with that $1 because it's like, well, that's how much that was worth for me. And maybe he sells it to somebody who is really talented, or somebody that we introduced that would appreciate it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not the politics route, but we've just spent a lot of money on doing this audacious project, and then in the end he doesn't even own it because he just sells the rights to it.
Yeah.
I think that's better than like, oh, I have to sell this car for a buck. And I was like,
that's it. That's pretty good.
A lot of people get paid along the way then. Like,
he's doing some good. He's giving jobs.
Yeah, he's created jobs.
Are we saying then one of the stipulations is that whatever he does with money, he needs a receipt for it, say?
Yeah, I think so.
So how about then if he gives like $100 to like a homeless person or something, or $1,000 to a homeless person?
Right.
And he's like, can you write me a receipt? And the homeless person's like looking at him like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? A receipt? You know?
Yeah.
And then maybe later on the homeless man comes up with a receipt and he goes, can I have that $1,000 now? Signs him a receipt, gives it to him.
Yeah.
And then as the movie goes on, we have like a load of homeless people coming up with these receipts and saying, can I get $1,000 off you?
I like that.
Yeah, no problem, man. No problem.
You can have like, he goes up to a homeless guy and he's like, here's $100. You have a receipt? No, I don't. Well, could you go and buy a pen and paper and then write me a receipt? All right, and ask for money. Well, I'll give you $100. You want me to spend the $100 that you gave me on a pen and paper for a receipt? Well, yeah, that means you have $99. Like, why can't you give me a 101? Give me $101, you know? And the guy's getting all stingy on the paper and pen because he wants a crisp dollar bill.
It's the Elsa Paris thing of you have to buy the briefcase.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's like the greatest deleted scene ever. I cannot believe they did not leave that in. Yeah, so I think we kick it off. I think you need two slimy lawyers.
If it's going to be a movie thing that he's going to buy, that's going to be where the most of his money's gone. Then we have him in that kind of, that geekdom, that kind mad into collector's stuff or a comic book store, something along those lines.
Yeah, working in a comic book store could be fun.
Yeah, okay.
Just that kind of bored.
That's actually perfect, actually, because that's a good then scenario, because print media is going down so badly because of, like, you know, online books, whatever, like e-books. So it could be the fact that the business is going out, like it's going down the 20, like this.
Yeah.
They're not making any money, so he's the one who injects the money into it.
It's true, like, and you have the scene in Brewster's Millions where he buys an old stamp, this rare stamp, and the guy's like, what is this guy doing? Like, he's an idiot. And then he ends up mailing the stamp. And maybe there's an equivalent we can do with an old Superman comic book. Now, I know you can't, I think it's shitty if he destroys the comic book,
yeah,
but just buying like a small piece of paper. Oh, I don't think you can give it away either. I mean, we mentioned receipts. I think he has to have transactions and end up with nothing for it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I think in a comic shop would be kind of fun.
Cool. So, like you're saying, start off with the lawyers.
Yeah. Lawyers. We got Paul Giamatti, and let's get another slimy one. It was like a bitch kind of one. Carrie Ann Moss from
I was gonna say Queen Latifah if we're going for that.
Queen Latifah, I like. If we're going, where did that come from?
I don't know. I just straight away, as soon as you said bitch, I just thought of her.
Okay, so why not? Like, I just don't want to make it all guy heavy, you know. Yeah. And I think it'd be fun to have a dynamic of like this slimy lawyer. Like, they're not a couple, but it's a guy and a girl, and they're just kind of bickering with each other about like, we need this money, you know.
I think there's an alpha struggle between the two of them, you know, the kind of way.
Yeah. I can see Paul Giamatti so upset.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say she's going to boss him. Boss him big time.
So you think we start with the dying father, the estranged father, right? Like, he's not like his father and they've talked all their life, you know? I think it's best if it's like that.
Yeah, it needs to be that strained. Maybe.
Isn't it like Creed? I haven't seen it, but isn't Creed like, the son of Creed was an estranged kid that was like brought in.
And he says that Adonis Creed, he says that he is the son of Creed, but he can't prove it.
Yeah.
He says he's the son of Apollo, but he can't prove it.
Yeah.
So would they just take his word for it, like I think in that movie.
Okay. I think in this, the guy may have another child outside of wedlock, and that's the one.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the only guy going.
Maybe he even just gave him up for adoption when he was really young. He made a mistake.
Yep, you know, yep, kind of yep. Like,
and he could never track him down or something.
Steve Jobs'd him. That's in that film too. Because he's like, that's not my child. And he uses like, tries to get an algorithm to say that it's not his child. It's his child.
Algorithms.
Yeah, so that's good. So, do we start with him then? Do we start with like the lawyers, or we start in the comic book shop? Do we want to start showing you the nerd?
It would actually be quite good to start off with the lawyer and the dying, basically maybe going through the will of the dead billionaire.
I can see that too.
To pull out on like a news feed. Basically, the billionaire has died, and apparently there's an estranged son that they're trying to search down.
Right.
And we pull out the TV, and we're in the comic book store, and we just see Jake, the big slob. That does not look like he's heir to any throne.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I like that. So you're pulling out of the TV, you're going between his arm, and in his hand he's got like a Subway hot dog, like a meatball sub kind of thing going on. And it's just kind of like, he's so focused on completely the other thing. He's just like, I'm not watching the news. I'm trying to read a comic book with my meatball-soaked hands, and it's really difficult. Turn the pages with his elbows, you know?
If you drip on it, you buy it, you know? That kind of thing. That's what his boss is saying, his manager.
The boss is like, that's a rare edition, Jake. He's like, can you just read it later? Like, no, man, like, I want to get through this stuff. It's one of the benefits of actually
working. It's four books, I'll buy it. You know, the kind of way he goes, okay, but you're not allowed to go near the vintage collection. Okay, with your meatball-y hands in it. Yeah. And that could be like the rare Superman edition is in there.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of way that we can pull out later on.
I don't know what to do with it, but I think there's something about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do think that... See, I don't even know if they did that in Brewster's Millions, where he gets picked up, thrown in a limousine. I don't know. I'm just thinking that's how it should go.
Yeah.
So, I think we can do that because I don't even know if that happened. For the listeners, I haven't seen Brewster's Millions in like 10 years. So it's going to be quite loose. I don't know what we'll connect with and what we'll
I've seen 15 minutes of it on Netflix and got bored and turned it off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that shows the concept worked, but we want to do it.
I remember fast forwarding. I have no idea how it ends. I know there's a woman in it that he likes that's like a PA of some sort, and she doesn't want to come near him. I know there's a baseball team. John Candy's in it, I think.
Is he?
Yeah, he's in everything, so that could be it. I could be completely wrong. But yeah, it's so. What if he gets pulled out, or maybe he gets a summons to court? You know, the kind of way he arrived to court, he gets served. It's like he arrived to court on this day, and he's like, "What the hell did I do?" He has no idea. He doesn't pay attention to the news. This is like a worldwide event. Like someone,
Bruce Wayne has died.
Yeah, this is like someone's going to win the lotto, like the biggest ever jackpot. Like, you know, $6 billion, say it is, or whatever, you know, and because he can blow 5.5 of that on movies easily.
Yeah,
this is like the biggest thing, but he doesn't pay any attention to this. He's reading comics. He's like hanging out eating meatball subs, like, you know, that's all he does.
Life.
Yeah. Sounds like a great life.
Yeah.
So he gets someone to court, doesn't even know what he's being brought into court for.
Right.
And when he gets there, it's like blood tests and all that. He's like, "Oh, what am I signing this for?" He's just signing all the shit away. He doesn't even care. Like, you know, he's just doing it.
He's got his wrestling podcast in his headphones, so he's not even paying attention.
But I think one thing that we have to do with his character is make sure that we see early on that he will just go with the flow no matter what. Like, he doesn't kind of think about consequences or whatever. Because if he's going to be just throwing money out at anybody, he has to be really kind of relaxed person.
Which also creates this thing where you have the two lawyers. They can come in and they're like, "This guy's a pushover," you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, they're going to trick him into signing everything away. And I think maybe at that one moment, maybe he's eating a sub and it drips on a particular part of the contract where he's like, "Hey, what does this mean?" You know? And they're like, "Shit," you know, it's like out of
Wendy, get me more papers.
Yeah, it's like they just covered his contract like 30 pages or something. Like, it's just so dense, and he literally lands on the one thing that says, like, you're giving up everything. You'll only retain 4%, which is a lot, maybe, but yeah, like, he's given up 98% of his inheritance, you know?
That's it.
He's like, "What is this?"
It's donated to various charities across the board, but all the charities are owned by this group, this business group.
Yeah. Do you think we should give him somebody on his side?
Like a love interest or a best buddy?
I think a love interest could be good. I'm thinking of an Alfred. Somebody who, like, isn't one of the lawyers, who is going, like, who kind of just swoops in and is like, "Hold on, don't sign that," you know?
So someone in the offices that actually is trying to back him up.
Yeah, like somebody who's not part of that lawyer, the business side of things.
The confidant to his father, basically.
Yeah.
And that could be the guy who actually tells him about his father. Because that would be one of the biggest things. I wonder for Jake, once he finds out that he had a father.
Yeah.
He's never known who his real parents were, say, if he knows he's adopted or, you know, along those lines. So I was like, "He can tell me about him."
And the guy's like, "Oh, no more meatball subs for you." And Jake looks really upset. And you cut to them in Subway eating meatball subs. He's like, "What? Like, I like these. I don't give a shit about the money. Like, I enjoy these regardless."
So if we want to give him an Alfred, you have to give him, like, a Kendo, don't we?
Sure.
Okay.
I think that'd be good, because then you have two forces against him and one force of good who's trying to, like, keep him in, like, so now he's being kept on a fine line in between the two of them, you know?
Yeah.
I do think he should get a love interest of some way. I think it might be an assistant of some kind. Somebody who can help him blow his money, because at some point he needs to sit down in front of a video. Maybe that's what Michael Caine says. He goes to the lawyers like, "Did you not show him the video yet?" "Oh yeah, it's not here." And he's like, "Don't sign that."
Yeah.
I should do a Michael Caine impression, but I'm not going to. Michael
Caine. Tangerine. Where's the tangerine?
So it's like they don't even show him this video, and the video is his father explaining the concept of what he has to do, that this guy kind of built up his whole career from nothing. So he doesn't like just giving it away. Like, you, when you build it up from nothing, you really have respect for money. And that's what I'm going to instill in you, son. Like, I want you to be sick of money. I want you to know what it's like just to hate money. And that's the way you'll know what to do. You'll know how to do the right thing with it. You know, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera.
So I think we've explained it well enough that we can pretty much just skip right to him in the offices with that videotape, can't we?
Yeah, exactly.
So Michael Caine came there. We've already introduced him. We know that the sleazy bosses who are playing it really cool at the moment and really trying to be his friend, that, like, you know, "We're doing the best for you. Can we have a big briefcase handcuffed to like a Dave Bautista kind of style henchman.
Okay.
Bringing the briefcase into the office, putting it down in front of Jake, unbuckling the handcuff.
Uh-huh.
Entering in the code and the fingerprint, you know, to open it up, and you think it's going to be a big wad of money, and it's only this little tiny Visa card. You know, I was like, well, what's the point in carrying that amount of cash around? That's all you need. You know, it's your plastic friend. It's everything here.
And that's where like a lot of the receipts have to go in. So that kind of fixed the receipts. He goes up to a homeless guy and is like, hey, can I give you money? He's like, do you have a card machine? You know, they actually do have card readers. I don't know how the ins and outs, but you can't actually get a card reader for like a small shop. And so maybe like homeless guys start getting
contactless payment, isn't it? Like, yeah. 30 quid or whatever.
Maybe homeless guys start trying to get the bank accounts and like they all get card readers because they line up in front of them going, I got that card reader, man.
Yeah, it's like, sure. Good, actually. Okay, so what are we going to say the rules are from the old man, from his father?
He is, in order to, it's not like 30 million, which it might not have been in the other one. I think it was something like that.
Yeah.
Are we saying it's going to be like 500 million or something?
Well, I would say give him a billion.
Okay.
Give him a billion, and let's say like the
in a summer?
His wealth could be the fact that it could be like 60 billion, you know, the kind of way he's like a massive Steve Jobs guy. Oh, Steve Jobs or Bill Gates kind of fella, you know, that kind of way. So, but he has to spend 1 billion aimlessly to get to the other 59 billion.
Well, we don't worry about realism here.
I'm just thinking if we're gonna pay for movies and stuff to be made, like we could easily drop 250 million on one movie, and he can have like a whole little franchise going on. So that could be like a big amount of money going out of his Elvis change.
I've worried about that too myself. Like if I ever won the lottery, people are like, what would you spend it on? I'm like, my wife would have to stop me because I'd probably blow it on making a movie. And like no one, like, and I'd George Lucas it because nobody would tell me if it's good or bad. You know, like, I'm paying everybody to like my ideas. So I actually worry about if I won the lottery, I would blow it on the worst movie of all time. So I completely identify with this guy and he wants to blow money on a movie.
I don't think you have a Phantom Menace in you, to be honest.
Sweet. So yeah. I think is it 1 month or 2 months or?
Let's give him 2 months.
I think so, because we want to have some fun with creating a film.
Yeah.
But also, there's a lot of pressure put on an entire crew and cast and everybody to literally make one in about a month's time, because it has to be finished.
So why don't
it's got to be picture locked and ready to sell for a buck.
Well, it's not that release date involved in it.
Yeah.
So let's say that the old man says on the videos, like, you have a year to do it, you know. Your year will be up on September 1st, 2016, you know.
Uh-huh.
And Jake just turns around to Michael Caine. He's like, jeez, this guy's maths is awful. Like, he's a billionaire. It's like, you know, that's 2 months away. He goes, yeah, it took us so long to find you, you know.
Oh, I like that.
So time is really running out. It's really up against you, you know, the kind of way. So really add the stakes to it.
Okay, that makes sense. So then we're sending them off, and it's like, now it is crucial. You cannot own anything after that 2 months.
You cannot make a profit. You have to spend all 1 billion, not 1 cent more, not 1 cent less.
And you cannot own anything from that afterward. So, and you can't give it away for free. You can't you can't do charity with it. You can't just go, here's a billion, give me the rest of it, you know? So that's what it is. I think he's given a kind of a PA or somebody to kind of help him on his journey. Michael Caine's there already.
Yeah.
But I don't think Michael Caine's a day-to-day person. I think Michael Caine is there to thwart the lawyers. So we're going to give him basically a love interest. Somebody who's...
Yeah. I think Brewster had something like that. Maybe it was a PA that he got, and that turned out to be... She was really stern with him,
mm-hmm.
and that turned out to be his love interest. He really fancied her and was always trying to impress her, I think.
Right.
I think now. I'm not too sure, but...
Even if that's the case, that sort of road, I think we should anyway. Like, even now, I'm thinking, if he was running around and trying to blow all his money, at some point, the film he's trying to make... He doesn't care about the quality. It kind of gets lost in the goal of blowing the money.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool if the film turned out pretty decent and it was because of her and he basically sold the rights to her of this huge franchise, you know? So maybe it wasn't even... Maybe we take away the love interest angle and it's like this business partnership that's blossomed out of the kind of, you're an idiot, you're selfish, I can't believe... Like, he's a slob being given... $1 billion to blow, like, anybody, and you're supposed to help him, like, that's a shitty thing, you know? So you can have her not enjoy the concept of it.
What about if it was slightly different? What if we gave that to Michael Caine, the movie? Because Michael Caine now has no job. He has no person to look after. You know, that could be a conversation that he has with him. It's like, so what are you going to do now? He goes, oh, I don't know. I'm going to, you know, I've been working all my life. I need to fill my time in somehow, you know, that kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, he goes, well, maybe set up a couple of businesses here or there, you know, and do the whole Bruce Wayne thing, you know, various charitable foundations and shareholders. Or yeah. Stockholders or whatever, you know, that he does in the end of Batman Begins.
That's true. Sounds good to me. So, what would you do, like, if you literally left right then and there? I mean,
The first couple of days are going to be hard because to comprehend $1 billion is inconceivable, actually, like, as spends go, you know, that kind of way. So, I would think that if I got $1 billion, be like, right, I'm going to spend this easy. And after, like, maybe the first week, we can see him, like, spending, going crazy, going bananas.
It's a party, party in a bar, you know.
Doing bumper cars with Ferraris, you know, that sort of thing, you know, like, Destruction Derby. And it's like, you know, just dropping loads of money, and then you go and you check the bank balance at the end of it, you know, he puts his card into the machine. You have to have that ATM, don't you?
I think so, that's a really good, it's your ticking clock that is ticking so slow.
Yeah, and it's like, it's 900, and, like, 900,000 million still left. You know?
Yeah.
He hasn't even broken 100 million yet. Like, it's kind
of, I think so. I think it'd be really fun as well to show that, like, it's difficult for him to even fathom it, like what you said. So he goes to a bar and he's like, I'll buy you a drink, you know? And he's like, how's a beer, please? And what would you like? Like, would you like a cocktail? Like, He's totally not getting the billion. Exactly. Like, he's bought himself the cheapest beer in the place.
What's the specials today, bartender? You know, I'll have a €2 cheeseburger. Yeah, that'd be great.
And then she's like, you really aren't getting this concept, are you? And he's like, well, no, like, look, I can drink a fair bit of it myself, you know? Like, he's really going, like, because I own it, and then I shit it out later. You know, he's like, I will not own it in a couple of hours, you know? And I think it would be fun if, even in that scene, they get to know each other a bit, as a bit of conflict there, and then he ends up buying drinks for everybody that night.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, drinks on the house, you know, and puts the card behind the bar. So I was like, it's fun. Like, his first night, you do feel like he's getting it, but he spent no money at all. Like, he went to a bar.
It's a couple of thousand. Like, that's all it is. Yeah. Maximum. Yeah. I'd say that he actually leaves the card behind the bar.
Uh-huh.
Goes off, maybe goes outside, and it's like, he gets distracted, he goes off to do something. It's like, you know, it would be a great idea if we went off and let's go to a theme park, you know, let's go do this sort of stuff. Goes to the theme park, leaves the car behind the bar, you know, kind of way. Gets there and it's like, can you pay for his in, because
I left
the car behind the bar. He goes, you're supposed to be sending the money, man.
Yeah, yeah. I'll owe you.
I'll get it in the morning, it'll be fine, like, you know.
Yeah, I think it'd be great, even if after that first night he wakes up, he's blacked out, and he bought a bunch of shit. He blacked out, and he's just like, oh, no. He basically spent money, and now he has to get rid of all this shit that he bought. He's like, I can't own any of this stuff. I was like, well, you can't give it away either. That's charity. Maybe that's where the destruction part of it comes in, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, what is it like, is it something like you get clamped, or your car gets taken? It becomes property of the state or something? Eventually, like, they can auction it off or something.
That's a 6 month thing, I think it is, or a year or something like that. I do get it. We can mix those reels up for the sake of the story.
Yeah, I think, because it would be amazing if the first night he thinks he did good, but then he ended up buying a bunch of shit and he's trying to get rid of it. And part of it is like, you destroyed this painting or whatever, you know. It's like, I don't want to destroy paintings, because you don't want him to be that guy, you know.
So,
like, maybe that's a rule, you can't destroy things. You got to be clever about how to.
It's too easy just to direct them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't get. So let's take a car. You can't destroy it. You can't give it away. But if it's taken from you by the law.
Yeah. Or if you destroy the car, say you do the bumper car idea thing, he can sell them on for like the $1, you know, the kind of way, like the scrappage, basically.
Oh, yeah. He turns it into something else. So. Yeah. They crush the car into like a block, and it's like, I'm not selling the car for a buck, I'm selling the block, because it changed. I mean, Michael Caine is there to actually define what it is, and he's like, yes, actually, he's correct, that car is now turned into something else, you know? Yeah. Like, water turns into vapor. It's like, it is no longer a car. It doesn't fit the description of what a car is.
Can we give him a dumb friend to pop in and out of? I think we need that, don't we, from the outside? I think we need his a dumb friend that can advise him, that that's even stupider than he is.
Yeah.
That can come up with some ridiculous ideas, you know? So basically give him that John Candy character, whoever it is, like, so.
Okay.
What's his name? Josh Gad or something like that, you know, or Seth Rogen, you know, it's like one of those kind of like chubby friends.
Have you
chubby
seen
friends.
The Mindy Project?
The Mindy Project, I haven't.
Okay, there's a guy in that who's really good for that role. But
we'll just call him Guy then, will we?
I forget his name. He's in the Sisters film with Tina Fey coming out.
I do know the guy you're on about. Yeah. I do know him. He's in.
He's a lovable.
He's in the league and all that.
He's a lovable, odd, giant goofball. You know.
So we have him in there. Just call him Guy because we don't know his name.
Okay.
So Guy maybe wakes up in the apartment when Jake is freaking out, and Jake's like, "Oh, maybe like he kind of like emerges from this like pile of." Either food wrappers or like toys and like junk, basically.
Yeah.
Like Dracula, he just sits up and he's like, "That was a wild night last night." And Jack's like, "You were there?" And he goes, "Yeah, of course I was there. You know, we haven't seen him at all. You know, we don't know who he is." But it was like, okay, so he was there. He was in the bar. You know, like, thanks for leaving your car there. That was amazing.
Uh-huh.
And Jake's like, "You know, I'm up against him, man. I have to spend all this money, and I haven't even broke like 5,000. I haven't broke 5 grand yet. You know." And maybe
he hasn't even broke 5 grand. As a day's gone. Yeah. That's crazy.
And he's sitting there, you know, the two of them are sitting on the couch, hungover, you know, their hair's all over the place. And maybe Guy then turns around and goes, "You know, they always say that renting is like dead money, you know, that you should buy a house." He goes, "Yeah, I can't buy a house, though. I can't own anything." "Yeah, but what's worse than renting? Hotels. Let's live in a hotel." So that could be a whole thing then, that he actually moves to a hotel. So
and he just takes the floors. Rents floors.
Yeah, exactly. He lives in a penthouse, rents floors. That's like 10 grand a day. You know? Or about 10 grand a day, I'd say. So that's a good way. Let's round up to 100 grand a week.
And starts going, "Well, I got all these keys." He's walking the street handing homeless people the keys.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, and I'd say it's not just one hotel, it's the fanciest hotels in New York.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the homeless are living in the penthouse. That's awesome.
Michael Caine's with him, and the two sleazy Jermaine and Latifah come up, you know, and goes, "Hold on a second, you're not living in these." He goes, "Actually, I am. The Bird has this one has the greatest kitchen of all hotels. This one has the best living room, but this one has the best TV, you know? I want to build up all the best amenities. You know, there is no such thing as the best hotel in..." Where are we going to do this? New York, say?
That's true.
Yeah, in New York. So, you know, I want the best of everything. And Michael Caine's like, "You know, I don't see anything in the bylaws that can say that you can't do it."
Yeah, see, Michael Caine's going to be golden for us to get away with our shit.
He's Basil Exposition.
Yeah. Technically, you can do this. Yeah, I like it. I think we have to get him angling towards... Maybe we're not there yet, but comic book films and superheroes, like, just... blockbuster films. Like, oh, I know one too. Like, Al Pacino came to Dublin recently and he was doing this evening with Al Pacino, and you could actually have dinner with him if you gave him like 10 grand or something.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it's one of those, and that's maybe how we get him into the film oriented thing, where he's like, "Oh my god, I want to have like an evening with this guy." And it's like Harrison Ford or like just an actor. And it's like you
Harrison
have to...
Ford, that'd be the worst choice ever.
Well, yeah, exactly. But it's like, so like, I don't think Al Pacino would have been that amazing, really. You know, like, just, you get like a lot
of... Davis would do it. He wouldn't be expensive enough though.
But like, that's 10 grand there. And maybe that's an idea where he's sitting there having dinner with this guy and the guy probably sucks. And it could be one of those cameo moments of an actor who's playing a shitty
version
of himself.
Can we do it where then Batman vs Superman is out?
Okay.
And he rents out the cinema and he hires Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill to sit beside him while he watches the movie and just ribs on them for the whole movie. He's like, "Oh, Bats, you got a punch in the face there, didn't you? Look at you squealing like a little girl, you know," and all that sort of stuff. "And Superman, you're the Man of Steel. How could he hit you like that, you know?"
He's walking out kind of drunk now. And he's like, "Man, how did they mess that up so much? And like, could you do it better?" "Of course I could do it better. Why don't you?" "Well, it's not like I have a lot of money at my disposal and I can't own anything." You know, it's like, he literally like, "I'm going
to
make a movie."
Yeah, he has to come up with the idea straight away. It's him. It's his idea. Because like, if he's going to have all his advisors and all that saying, do this and do that, but he has to come up with that essential idea.
Yeah.
It's like, he looks and is like, maybe Affleck turns around to him and he's like, "Hey, hold on a second. You know, you're taking the piss out of us an awful lot tonight. Look, that movie made over $1 billion, okay? It's like one of the... If Star Wars hadn't come out the year before, it wouldn't be the biggest movie of all time, you know the kind of way?" He's like, $1 billion, really? Wow, yeah. And then it's like, he clicks, he goes... Maybe Affleck turns around and he goes, "You know, it's no Fantastic Four. Why don't you get those guys and take the piss out of them, you know? Yeah. Maybe he's crying a little bit, you know, really hurt by it. And then he's like, that's a great idea, yeah.
Well, like, exactly he's like, you can say, like, it's been made over $1 billion. And it was like, wow, is that all profit? No, it's not. Like, $500 million went into marketing alone. Did it now. Ooh. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Bing dong. It's like, that's the light bulb. He's like, okay. And then I think you probably cut to, like, who's the girl? Who's the assistant?
I would say, do you want to give it to Mindy? For the Mindy project?
Sure.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. So, I think it's Alfred and... yeah, whatever.
I
like
that.
Alfred and Mindy and him. I think he's, like, pushing a table. Like, just shit off a table. And smashing things he bought. Like, does that count?
<It's> like, yeah, exactly.
I was like, you didn't mean to, sir, so I'll take that off.
That's accidentals.
And I think he's, like, laying out the plan. He's like, we're going to make a film.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And I was like, yes, we were going to make a blockbuster. I've always wanted to be a director. And they're like, what do you know about this? You know, like, they can cost a lot of money. They can also make a lot of money, too, you know? And he's like, no, but we get to pay everybody. All the money's accounted for. And, like, we'll just make it. We have, like, a couple of months. So we'll cast it. We'll get the best actors. We'll get the best cinematographers. We'll pay everybody as much as their rates can be, you know?
And I think that has to happen after, like, after week one. After he realizes that he can't spend all the money.
Yeah.
On frivolous things, you know, it's impossible. It is physically impossible, and that's when he comes up with that idea that it's...
Yeah, because, you know, him going, I can get a 6-inch sub, and like, actually, no, make it a foot long.
With everything on it.
Maybe, like, just as another example, like, I know in rap, like, in music videos, like, the rappers actually rent those jewels, you know? Like, they literally, like, the kind of jewelry and the platinum is so expensive that it's actually rented for them to look like pompous, you know. Maybe it's some.
They do that as well with Cristal in their videos. Like, you know, they always have Cristal on the tables. Uh-huh. They never open it. They just give it back. Like, it's not actually. They don't actually drink it.
I think there's something with him showing up at a music video and like with the reels. Like, he actually bought the stuff. I don't really know where I'm going because I guess he can't give it away. But I just think it's funny the difference between renting it and. Actually, maybe that's it. That like, you were talking about renting earlier. So he's walking around with all his jewelry on. And the lawyers are like, what is this? Like, he bought all this stuff. Can you believe it? It's like, no, he didn't. He's renting it. What? He's renting it for like the next 2 months. It's costing like $100,000 a day just to put on that shit. He's what? And he's got the fur coat and the gold grill. The
grill, yeah.
He's just renting his clothing. And they're like, my God. And maybe there's a cameo from like Kanye or Puff Daddy who's trying to rent the necklaces. So
can we just get it back, please?
But it's like, no, it's booked out for 2 months. Why? That fucking white guy over there.
Bitch, I need my bling. I need my bling. I can't do my videos. I can't pay for a little West. What is it? Northwest? Man. Daddy can't pay his bills.
Yeah, just walking around all pompous. Maybe him and his friend, Guy. Guy's even more...
Yeah, he has to be the one. He has to be the one, like, really head to toe in gold. Like, he's basically getting gold plated. Yeah. Did you hear about that guy in the news that got gold plated balls?
I heard about that.
He died? Jesus.
He did die. Donated, he won $98 million, and then he did write a will before he died and donated all his earnings to a raccoon charity, a local raccoon charity. If there's a raccoon related incident happen in next 5 generations in that town, that's fucked up. Because they've got more money than even the government.
They can build trees. They can remake trees out of money that came from the trees originally. Yeah. Repurpose the money.
So I think, yeah, we can go through a couple of other fun examples, but I think we should get into the film aspect, right?
Yeah.
So I think this is the equivalent of the politics in Brewster's Millions. Yeah. He gets into politics and nobody's running, you know? So this is kind of our equivalent of that.
So before we do that, even, what is the biggest the worst superhero franchise that you could possibly think of Fantastic Four style that will definitely not make money? You know, Wolverine Origins, that which should have made money but didn't, you know, but like there's some sort of superhero movie out there that you definitely wouldn't make a penny. That's the one he has to go for.
Toxic Avenger?
Even Superdog is what I was thinking of.
Cool.
Crypto.
Yeah, like maybe a Superdog kind of film. That'd be kind of fun.
It's a movie with an all animal cast. And he's doing good. He's taking them out of shelters.
That's true.
We don't take A-list animals for this movie.
Do they talk? Can we get like voice actors?
Yeah.
Right, so yeah, like.
So we double up the roles.
Yeah.
Double you've cast got, the roles.
You've got the dogs that you, I guess, bought or whatever. No, you rented the dogs or you're paying the owners of the dogs.
Yeah.
And then you're paying Hollywood stars to be the voice of the dogs.
Clooney's there. He's like, I never thought I'd get the chance to play Batman again.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And he played a dog already in South Park. Yeah. The second time we're getting paid to do a dog role.
Some of his best work.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all happening. He is not going to be on the set. You know, that's not his his job. You know,
yeah.
While that's happening, his bank balance is going down lower and lower.
So yeah, I think
need
it's
him to do something now on his own.
And do you think it's I think we should see somebody putting that film together. I think we're missing a beat near the end, but it turns out to be a pretty good film by accident, because we're saying that it's going to be the worst film. So letting it become the worst film isn't really a good twist on it. You know, like, having it accidentally turn amazing because he put someone in charge that we've introduced and is close to him, whether it's Guy or Mindy or Michael Caine, it would be amazing if people were like crying over like this great film.
I can see him walking in to the set or the editing suite, you know, and it's like he's looking at it and the director there is going, oh no, not the director, maybe it's Michael Caine or so, or Guy is going ballistic at the editor. He's like screaming and shouting. He's like, what's wrong, is it really bad? He goes, no, it's fucking amazing. This is like the sweetest, cutest, funniest YouTube video of an animal that I've ever seen in my life. This is going to be amazing. This is going to be a huge hit. And he's like, we can't have that.
Because
everybody loves cute animals. Why don't we take it that?
Yeah. But I do like the idea that he's, like, somebody's coming to him going, we need this, this. And he's like, yeah, yeah, no problem, no problem. Like, not to be kind of shitty on the guy, but I remember watching the Iron Man 2 documentary with you, the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And Jon Favreau didn't quite look like he was in charge of anything.
He was a wuss, wasn't he?
He was like afraid of Mickey Rourke, who's coming in. He was going to the visual effects guys who put together this flying sequence. And I think he was like, oh, is that going to be what it looks like? Yeah. Maybe you can make the helmet redder. Or like he gave like this one shitty note, like this pointless note, just to show that he actually
has. It's too soft.
Yeah, so I'm thinking it's an element of that where he's walking around, like, and he's just going, yeah, whatever, like, you know, we're going to do it in 3D, are we? Yeah, in IMAX, yeah, is there anything else? What can we do? Can they smell the cinema? It's like, I want another layer.
A couple of years ago, when before The Hobbit came out, there was an April Fool's Day, there was like a big, it was all over, like, Empire and all that. It was like, Guillermo del Toro had said that they were going to make The Hobbit in 4D.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically moving seats and all that. And everyone was like, what the hell is 4D? This is just after like 3D phase.
Yeah.
Everyone was saying 3D is not going to work. And Guillermo del Toro says, we're trying to invest in 4D. And it turned out it was just a big April Fool's. But it got like a big massive spread in the news.
Did it?
Yeah. So I think we should do something along those lines, definitely.
There's something, another element to it that is just kind of like, what are you talking about? You know, this is crazy. So yeah, I think you're right, though. It's not going to be a film about this guy sitting on a set from now on, you know?
No, definitely not. That's happening while he's off doing his other stuff.
And that's where, like,
he needs to multitask to spend his money.
We're really seeing, like, and you have that, maybe what we're hitting now is a montage of this and a couple of other things, and we're putting the bank account depleting as we go.
Yeah.
So maybe we've actually hit 100 million at this point or whatever. Like, we're at, like, 70 million that he has
left, basically.
No, like, because I think we're not, like, he doesn't have, like, I think he may have, like, 200 million left, let's say. Or we can do something like that. Like, he's blown a lot, but, like, it's when he hit
800 million's gone now, I'd say, yeah. Because he's out there giving the money up for the movies up front, you know, that kind of way. So that's all gone out of his way. So he has 200 million to focus on.
Yeah.
But the only time that he thinks the movie is done and it's that money's been spent and he's not going to make any money back on it, but the movie's been really successful by the hype and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, this is like the biggest billionaire, the greatest lottery winner on earth. The news is going to be following around. It could be like Comic-Con was just around the corner. And you know that, you remember X-Men, the new X-Men Apocalypse, got that kind of, it was like shooting 5 weeks. And in Comic-Con, they sent that little teaser trailer for it. Like, it was really snippets of the stuff they'd already shot in those 5 weeks.
Uh-huh.
We've seen Apocalypse for the first time and all that. So maybe he releases, they're basically forced to release a small little snippet for the Comic-Con because everyone wants to know, and it goes down really, really well. That's when he says, shit, you know, this is going to be successful. Everyone's loving it, you know, this is the cutest movie of all time. Maybe that's where it comes from.
Yeah, it could be. I think One of the things though about it is like he could literally sell the rights to that material off, so there is a quick fix.
I'm just thinking that like he could see that like advertising, he bunches a load of money into advertising just to get rid of it.
It could be, yeah. Maybe he's anti-advertising. He's trying to get the sourest critics to like review it poorly, you know, yeah. And he's trying to squash it. Like that could be quite funny, because that's basically going, if he got into politics, then everyone is voting no, and it's, that's a problem. So he's like, no, like I'm actually ruining. So maybe the thing is, it is getting successful, but his love of comic books, he's actually making, he's shitting on everything that he loves.
Yeah.
And is it really worth that? You know, and that's a nice little moral thing where it's like, he's now blowing his money and becoming the one person he didn't want to. And that's what his dad wanted to teach him, you know? And I could see that going like, no, I can't do this. Like, my God, like, I'm actually making a piece of shit and it's turned out to be great, but it's the YouTube video thing. Like, yeah. It's not actually a great film, but it's turning into...
Actually, you know what? We're missing a beat completely, actually, with this little teaser trailer. If it's Giamatti and Latifah organized to send it out, because they want it to be successful. They want them to make money. They mm-hmm. don't want them to be able to spend the money, so they can get the fortune themselves. So they go behind his back and do something along those lines.
That makes sense.
That I think that's better, because I was just thinking we need to bring them back into it. I think that's a good way to get them back.
So they leak a...
Yeah.
They have somebody sneak in and cut a trailer.
Yeah.
A really good trailer, you know?
They basically give someone on the set a few backhanders to do something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And just release it online by accident. Upload it onto a random YouTube channel.
Yeah. Makes sense. Let's go back to him now.
Yeah.
Let's focus on something else. Besides this, I'm not 100% on the movie yet.
Yeah.
So I think we need to find something else for him to do.
So
I think when we get back to the movie, we'll be like, ah, here it is.
Yeah. Well, I'd say at this moment in time, he's happy that you spend loads of money. He gets back.
Yeah,
he's
just pummeling that money in there into the hotels.
Yeah. He has a weekly meeting every week with Michael Caine and
Mindy
and Guy and all of his advisors
about
how far they're going, you know, how much money they have left. He walks in, he's really confident now at this stage.
Yeah.
Like everything's going great. Walks in, Mike and says, right, so we still have 200 million to spend. Whoa, we have 200 million to spend. This is now him freaking out.
Yeah.
This is our pit now falling. Like, you know, he's starting to get stressed out now. He's under pressure.
He's got like the finest steak in front of him. Like, like everything is so pompous that it's disposable. Like, you know, he's like, what do you mean? You know?
Yeah, he has the finest steak. Maybe the waiter comes in, or the butler comes in, drops the steak in front of him. He looks at him, he goes, when he hears the 200 million, he's like, get me a side of lobsters. Get me lobsters. Get me like six lobsters and stick them on this plate.
Do you want some lobsters?
Yeah. Who wants lobsters? I'm allergic to fish. Just, can you lick them? You lick them, we're all good.
Yeah. I like that. Is there something ridiculous maybe that, I think in like Guinness Book of World Record kind of thing, where he builds something that is huge and like absurd. People are like, what's he building that for? But it actually is disposable. Like,
can we commit? Can
the
we,
biggest can meatball sub and everyone eats it.
I was gonna say, can we get him to commission the biggest ever house made out of cards?
Okay, yeah.
Like a real life house made out of cards. And obviously the wind is going to keep knocking it down, so it's going to be like an endless thing that is never going to get made, you know what I mean?
I think, yeah, it'd be fun to do Guinness Book of World Records kind of moments where he's trying to break a record. And then it's done, you know? Mm. But it spends a lot of money in doing this, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, there's another record broken. All right, cool, move on to the next one, you know? I want you to give me the biggest bowl of ice cream, you know? It's like, and this is, it just takes a shitload of money to actually build these things, and they're just constantly going. So he's setting records, which is amazing, but it's for the record that he's actually spending the money, so he doesn't own it. Like, you can't own a record unless it comes on a turntable.
Ooh. We can buy a load of those as well. I think we need to get the comic book store involved as well. It's can you decorate the comic book store with a load of like toys or something along those lines? Or, well, you can't keep them, can you? So that's a no. Can he buy a forest or something, or a park? Can he buy a whole park and like tear it down?
What?
He needs to go on holiday. He needs to get a private jet and go away somewhere on holiday.
Rent it.
Yeah.
Rent the jet. Rent the yacht.
That's it. Rent another hotel.
Yeah.
Maybe Jim Maddy comes up to Michael Caine and he's like, hold on a second, right? We let you away with New York and all the hotels there, like the 7 hotels that he's renting out. But now he's going continental with the hotels and he's still renting the other hotels. Well, all the stuff is in the hotels, you know, you can't keep... He goes, no. This is getting ridiculous, man. This is getting ridiculous. You can't just spend all the money on hotels.
Yeah. I think so. There's something with the comic book shop that's nice, but maybe it's actually the comic book shop guy that maybe they want... Like, he can't buy them anything. So it's like he's this rich friend now and he can't buy anybody anything really. So that's kind of a shitty thing.
Yeah.
Maybe like they would love it if like, even if he invested a little bit into the, like the failing business. And he's like, I can't really, you know?
He could buy that, he could buy that Superman comic that like, it's worth a couple of grand that's in the comic book shop, give it to them to pay some rent and then accidentally drop his meatball sub on the comic book. And then, like, the devaluation just goes completely.
Yes. Yeah, so maybe that's it. Which is, we'll do that because I don't like the way that a comic book lover would do that to a comic. But yeah, so it is buying something from them that is of big value. Open. Maybe it's not the comic book. What about those old action figures that always stay in cases?
Yeah.
So then he opens it, he takes it out of the case, and it's immediately valueless, you know? And I was like, no, what are you doing? He's like, rip. And he's like, oh, well, so they got their money and I got my figurine. I've always wanted to play with this guy, you know? So, yeah, that seems a bit easier than destroying a comic book. I don't feel like he would.
I thought Dutch's arm would have moved, but What's that? The other guy that's in Predator as well, you know, you son of a bitch. You know, that guy where they grab each other's hands and just a bicep shot.
Oh, Apollo Creed?
Yeah. It's like them two. He boys the two of them.
That's Dutch, isn't it?
No, Dutch I thought was Schwarzenegger.
Okay, maybe. Yeah.
And basically, he just buys the two of them so he can do that, and the arm stopped moving. He's like, that was disappointing. Yeah. All this money, and that's all he wanted to do, and it doesn't even work.
Absolutely. Okay, so, the whole time we're doing this, we're cutting back and forth to like the lawyers who were getting mad about it.
Yeah.
And then they put together I think we're 80% there with the film thing. It's just not really making sense to me at the moment.
Yeah.
I think that there's a way that we can scare him into thinking he's failing at it. And I like the idea of them releasing the trailer, but I think we're still quite fresh with how we're getting away with. You know, it's just not 100% there.
Yeah.
I think they should do something, though. I definitely do.
I think that this is a tough one to kind of get a midpoint because... Already I have ideas for like the end for when he's like up against that time limit, but it's spending. I think we just need to bring him out and start getting to spend money, don't we?
I think maybe with this film thing, maybe it's not about the film becomes a big hit. It's the fact that the two lawyers are trying to prevent him from finishing it on time because he can't sell the rights to it unless it's finished on time.
Yeah.
So they're halting production and they're slowing it down because like we need to get this done and there's actually real pressure then. Because I do feel like if it's successful, it's like we can always talk around it being successful. But the fact that they can't finish this film, it feels like an actual threat, you know?
Yeah.
So they're like slowing down production. He's trying to get this goddamn thing finished because it has to be finished. You have to be like, you can't just put out a half an hour and be like it's a film, you know? Like there's guidelines, and that's maybe in the rule book. They're like, no, it has to be over 70 minutes. And you, my friend, have a 60-minute cut of your film, you know? Yeah. It's like, can we just show the same scene again? Like, no, that doesn't work.
Maybe a crypto went to lick his balls a bit more or something. Can we do that?
Yeah.
We have any deleted scenes. Come on, these scenes are always full of deleted scenes. Yeah, cool. As well, I think we need to get him off spending more money now as well, like more scenarios. And I think for the end that it could be a good thing that if he sells the rights to the comic book shop, you know, the way to the movie, he sells the rights to the movie. So whatever the movie makes, will go to the comic book shop.
I like that.
So he maybe trades it for a pencil, you know, with Batman's head in it or something along those lines. Or
well, definitely, I think that's exactly the way you go. Like, because I think, you know, when Kevin Smith made a film and then he brought it to a film festival, and I think he bought it from himself for like $1. So it's the whole thing, like you bring in a film to a festival, and then maybe that is one of the things where you go to cons and... You're living lavish and he's popping stuff. And, like, I think people are still quite... Like, we're telling the audience, too, we don't quite get what he's doing. They're like, oh my god, like, is he actually selling this? Like, how is he gonna, he can't own this, like, what's he doing? Like, yeah. This makes no sense to me. And then he's taking all these offers. Someone's like, I will give you $50 million for that, I'll give you $80 million for this. And it's like, no, I don't understand what he's doing. It's like, turns around, he's like, I sell it to you. And points at, like, his friend from the comic book shop. And it was like, what,
you
do
own a business?
What do you have on you?
Yeah. You own a business. You'd be legitimate to buy this.
Yeah. So that's cool. I like that. That's a really good, like, ending for, like, the main bulk of the money, you know? Yeah.
That's why I think we're going to have a little bit of a... The last 6 hours or something like that, just going to be have massive tie-ups, like, in all loose ends. Like, I'd say, yeah. Giamatti and Latifah are going through all their receipts with Fine Two Combs saying, so did you really consume like 5 burgers on this day? You know, the kind of way, yeah. Did you really do this?
See, I think maybe we can even just say we've passed that threshold that they made the film and he sold it to his friends. I think we've discussed that enough that actually it fits there. I don't think that's the third act of it though. I like what you're going now with. I think he ends up having a little surplus or a little pocket of money that is still a lot. Like maybe it's like 50 million. Or something, you know?
What if it's 50 grand? He has to spend 50 grand, but he's bought absolutely everything.
Yeah.
He can only make small purchases now. Like, he's literally bought everything with his billion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you can imagine, if you spend that amount of money, there will literally be nothing left for him to buy.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of way? And he has to spend 50 grand. I can imagine that last 50 grand would be the hardest 50 grand to spend ever. You know, that kind of way? There's no more hotel rooms that you can blow it on. He has all the jewellery in the world, you know?
Yeah.
He's bought out all the bar tabs. And maybe he's been told he can't do that anymore. He can't keep repeating himself, you know, through bylaws or whatever in the contract. You know, the movie is already sorted, all that stuff. Now it's like he needs to spend it on frivolous, tiny little things. Like he only has like $10 things he can buy, really, you know?
Yeah, I like that. Like, I think for a film like this, you'd want to have that feeling at the third act that he failed, like he didn't succeed. Maybe it's a hiccup in the paperwork. Like, I love for the lawyers to celebrate, going like, "We got the money," and it turns out that it was like a day off or something.
What was that homeless guy that's he's still looking for the receipt? He has to find him. He's like, "Just get back to me with the receipt, okay? You can keep
doing
it. Just get back to me with the receipt." And that's like he has to send a load of people off, like a SWAT
team. How
about
this?
He hires a SWAT team. He rents a SWAT team to go and find this guy, like to find the homeless guy in New York.
Yeah. How about like? Maybe this happens in another city, like just a bit further away, and the lawyers are celebrating, going, "Ha! You were like, you spent it all, but you still have like $300, like, and he couldn't spend it, and it literally everything's closed. He cannot spend this money, like, and he fails." But then Michael Caine's like, "The time zone, sir. What is like? It was actually in New York at this time, so you actually have a couple of hours left." And I think that's where your homeless guy could show up and literally with a receipt for the equivalent of the money that he spent. And that could be fun. You can set that up throughout, retroactively have this homeless guy going, I'll get you that receipt, man. I have that money, you know? And finally shows up with the receipt. He's like, here, take the money. Oh, yes.
And I'd love, because we're talking about the politics thing from like the first one. To have a little tie-in with that, like a little amount. So it would be that, you know, whenever you have like the elections... Mm-hmm. And the voting is done, and they have to do a recount, and it's like you get to contest the count.
Yeah.
And you have to do a recount again. So maybe before the homeless guy turns up, he's like, "I want a recount of all the receipts."
Yeah.
"I have to have spent more." And then when the homeless guy turns up, it's like he gives him that last, like the last, what was it, like to say his last, like $999 that he needs to spend, you know, because he's out there getting the homeless guy to buy the paper himself.
Uh-huh.
And he's clear. But then it turns out when the new count comes in, it's like he owes them 50 grand. You know, it's like, "Jake, you owe us 50 grand. He's like, "Shit, how am I going to spend that, man? I don't have 50 grand to spend. I'm going to spend $1 billion. I'm going to spend everything." Michael Caine's like, "Yeah, sir, remember you get that other 59 billion now because you won the challenge." He's like, "Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Woo. Meat subs on everyone." For everyone, sorry. They're not buying him, though. Yeah, I think that's kind of a nice ending, then.
It is. I do like to go through it. Do you want Mindy to be the love interest?
I don't think so.
Need to have situations like the... No, if you did, you'd need to have situations thrown in there or friends. You need to have Guy come off better, like to be kind of in a better situation as well. You know, all sort of thing. Like his trusted friends.
Yeah.
We'll figure out who his trusted friends are and who that circle is, that who everybody is better off. I'd say he, like near the end credits, like when he has the 59 billion, that he'd be giving a lot of it to homeless people, you know, like maybe he buys a hotel and houses a lot of homeless people out.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. He does a lot of good with it.
I think, yeah. That he makes...
notices, while the movie's going on, he notices all the bad that's in the world, and basically now he can actually fix it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Because then there's a part of that thing where it's the, you don't get what you want, you get what you need.
Yeah.
And I think this does... it does feel like we should give him the money, but then he should give it away.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I think that would be really nice if he like just only kept like $500,000 for himself. You know, that kind of way. And he gave everything else and made the world a better place. And they're like, Jesus, you know. He goes, look, I seen how hard it is to spend £1 billion. Like, you know, and the amount of nonsense that I bought enough nonsense without $1 billion to like to fuel a lifetime of splurges. He goes, no, I just want to work in a comic book shop and I just want a house. And
he goes back to the comic book shop with his... little meatballs, and instead of sitting behind the counter, he sits in his own chair in front of them, and he's just reading all the comic books.
Yeah.
And they're like, "This is it." So this entire adventure took him 5 feet from where he started.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he no longer
the
works
more comfortable
there.
Chair.
Yeah,
a stool to a recliner.
Yeah, he just sits there in like his geek hammock or whatever. Yeah. You know,
but
like,
it's not winning. There's no happy ending really if he gets to $59 billion, is it?
No.
In other way, it's like if I don't know how Brewster ended. Like I said,
I can't remember either.
But if he is a billionaire or a millionaire at the end of it, it's just like, what's the point, you know?
I agree. I think he should give it all away. I think, and with enough, well, only enough money now that he can just literally live with that little boring lifestyle of his, because that's what he wanted. Like, I think we've done this before with the same character? Well, it's similar to our lottery one in a way.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why this has been trickier this time, because I've been trying to avoid what we did in that one.
Yeah.
And it's very similar in storytelling.
Yeah.
With the same actor, actually. But I think this guy does have that... he has that feeling where he's so simple. Like, he never needed the money anyway. Mm-hmm. But it became a thing, like a goal. And that would be something you'd have to add in. That we didn't really cover was he found out that he was actually losing what mattered with the money. And that's the point of spending it. He's like, look, you have to get sick of it. And... really, it is, you don't need it, you know? Yeah. But this money's all going to go to other people and it's going to be great. So that's what he fought for.
Maybe he gave his company away and turned it into like a public PLC. So like the people owned it, like, you know, a certain group of people owned it.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like a housing, a charity, you know, one of those things, a charity, he gave it to a charity. So they owned the company, then they get the profit. So Latif and Giamatti are out of a job.
I like that. Yeah. Screw them. I think that's it then, right?
Yeah, done.
That was actually tougher than I thought it would be.
Yeah, that was the most sporadic episode I think we've ever done.
Yeah. I think it's because anything's possible and everything. But, I mean, it goes to show, like, the concept is there, but it's a very difficult story to tell.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to create drama in a sense of someone having so much money. Like, it's not exactly a dramatic story. Like, say in our infamous one, we actually had a conceit that worked was they're blowing money, but it's on somebody else becoming famous.
Yeah.
So the drama comes that this guy's life becomes threatened and it's dangerous and they did that. With this, we don't really have that. We just have this guy blowing money. And that might have been the thing when Brewster's, where I kind of got bored watching it going, could be better.
Yeah.
So I think it's a different concept.
Rich as well had a different thing. That was a kid, you know, he's like loads of money.
Yeah.
But he just wanted friends, and that's all it was. And he tried to buy his friends. He couldn't get them that way. You know that way. It's like,
yeah.
And it turns out that friendship, you can't buy friendship. You have to earn it. You know, and that's the whole idea about that movie. But playing with money, man, that's hard.
It's a tough one.
I would like a chance to do it in real life, though.
I would. I would make a film, unless my wife stopped me. okay, that's it. That's a wrap.
Yeah. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed that episode, please share it with your peeps, peers, colleagues, and neighbors.
Yeah. Hit us up on Facebook or Twitter at Storybreakers or storybreakers@gmail.com.
Let's get out of here and blow our thousands that we have. Our thousand errors.
A thousand errors?
Yeah. That's it. All right, guys. Thank you. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling, patent pockets. We take the dollar, can't a damn soul stop it. Here comes the new kid on the block. Hold on, your bets, here's where the buck stops. See, first of all, I'm stepping out on my own. About time I elevated to claim my own throne. Success in my blood, call it homegrown. Pours reek and testosterone. Power and money got me crazy cocky. No longer need you, poppy. I know you're mad because you can't stop me. And
wonder how this player done scooped your honey. I think she smell my cologne. It's called brand new.